we talked about the Rif at the beginning of the Masechta, where the Rif says that by a chatzah sheyesh b'kadei, a chatzah sheyesh b'kadei chalukah, so you can be tevei a chalukah, one shutut can force the other one to be chalukah because hezek yesh v'hezek. The question was, what's put on the Rif? That you could be tevei a chalukah has nothing to do with hezek yesh v'hezek. You could be tevei a chalukah because it's a chatzah sheyesh b'kadei chalukah. You can be tevei a kaisel because hezek yesh v'hezek. So what I wanted to put together was that misad, that you cannot be tevei a chalukah without a kaisel. A chalukah without a kaisel is not a chalukah. Since hezek yesh v'hezek. So hezek yesh v'hezek, part of hezek yesh v'hezek, which could have the gemara that for the base of the base, part of hezek yesh v'hezek means that it's not a chotzer has to be a chotzer is a mokum of tashmish atzneya, and if, in order to be chaylik a chotzer, you have to have two chatzeres where you could be mishtamish divrei atzneya. If you're not going to put up a kaisel, then you're not going to be able to do divrei atzneya. So you can't be tevei a chalukah without a kaisel. But the tvias chalukah itself, the schus that each shutter has to be tevei a chalukah when it's a large enough chotzer, is not enough to demand a kaisel. Because the schus chalukah is a schus to leave the shutvus. It's not a schus to force the other person to spend money. You don't have any koyach of here to force the other person to spend money. Moshul mar davar daimer. Let's say I had a small chatzah that was only didn't have a kadei chalukah. And one guy wants out. So why can he say, you know what, I want out. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Why, we're going to, let's buy more property all around. So now we'll have a bigger chatzah and it'll be kadei chalukah. I want out of the shutvus. Your schus chalukah is not enough to demand that. You can be tevei out. You want out, but if there's not enough, if it's not a big enough chotzer for you to get out, because it's not yesh b'kadei chalukah, then you can't say, well, in order for me to get out, you have to spend money. There's no such tevei. So maybe the mere schus chalukah. This is what I said last week. The mere schus chalukah is not enough to be tevei a chalukah with the kaisel, and chalukah without a kaisel is no such thing. So how do you get out? So the way you get out is your Tevea Hezekriya. Tevea Hezekriya. Hezekriya is already a Tevea HaChokas Nezokin. With that, you keep a Tevea Kaisel. But the Schus HaChokas Nezokin alone is also not enough. The Schus HaChokas Nezokin is also not enough. You can't just come with it with a time of Hezekriya. So the way I said it then was because Kozman was Shutfin, there's no HaChokas Nezokin. So I have to be Tevea Chalukah. Once I'll be Tevea Chalukah, we won't be Shutfin. Once we won't be shutfin, so I'll be able to be tevei achalkas nezokin. And once I can be tevei achalkas nezokin, which means a kaisel, then I'll be able to have a real chalukah. That's the way I said it last week. So a lot of the guys, even at the time, were puzzled, and it's not good puzzling, that it seems that it pulls itself up by its own bootstraps. He can't be tevei achalkas nezokin. It's like a little bit going around in circles. He can't be tevei achalkas nezokin calls man the shutfin. So and Kozman, and without a tefiyah b'chalkas nezokin, he can't be tevei a kaisel. And without being able to tevei a kaisel, he can't be tevei a chalukah. So how does it all work? Like, how does it get started? So I said somehow it's chal b'vasachas. B'vasachas, he's tevei the chalukah with the chalkas nezokin, and everything is chal k'achas. So afterwards, I thought, there's a simpler way to say it. So I posh it like this. Maybe, l'olam, maybe there's a tiny of achokas nezokin even while the shutfin. Maybe Betzin, we talked about this in the past. Is there hezek real while the shutfin? Not so clear. Abakar claims not, but it's not so mufurish anyway. While two people are shutfin, is there hezek real? Are they being mazik each other with hezek real? So Abakar says no. Kozman, they're living together, so that by definition doesn't have a hezek real. It's not mukuch. Maybe there's hezek real even when they're shutfin. If there's hezek real while they're shutfin, so why can't they be tevei a kaisel? The answer is poshut. Let's say you have a chotzer, it's the ein bo kadei chalukah. So Reuben says to Shimon, you're masking me with hezek real, build a kaisel. So Shimon's response would be, yes, it's true, I'm being masking with hezek real. So you have maybe a satfi on me that I should build a kaisel. But if we build a kaisel, that's a chalukah. And this is a chotzer, she ein bo kadei chalukah. I have a schus in a chotzer shemei eim b'kadei chalukah, as much as you have a chus to be tevei achokas nezokin, but I have a schus not to break the shutvus. In a chotzer shemei b'kadei chalukah, I have a schus that the shutvus shouldn't dissolve. Because if the shutvus dissolves, I'm out of a chotzer, because it's a ein shmoyola. So it's a wash. It's, you know, Aliba de Emes, you could tie that, there is a Tfiyas HaChakas Nezokin even in a small chatzah. But he can't do anything with it. Because what is HaChak Nezokin? Build a kaisel. But building a kaisel means dissolving the shutfis. And in a shutfis, She'eba Kenei Chalukah, the other fellow has a right not that the shutfis should not get dissolved. So now we could say the same word, but now we don't have to have this paradox. Say poshut that you have a chotzer. Reuben wants to make a chalukah. So now Reuben has two tefiyas. He has a tefiyah of chalukah that a shutef has a right, that a large enough chotzer has a right to leave, and he has a tefiyah of a chalukah nezok. Build the kaisa. Each tefiyah by itself is not enough. The tefiyah of I want to leave is not enough, because the tefiyah that I want to leave is not enough to force, let's say Reuben, Reuben's chus that he wants to leave is not enough to force him to spend tight size. And therefore it's not enough to force a kaisel, and without a kaisel, it's not a chalukah. Reuben also has a tefiyah of achalukah nezokin. Reuben could say to Shimon, I want a wall, you're being massive me, Hezekiah, I want a wall. But normally, Shimon's that by itself is also not enough, because Shimon could say, but if we build a wall, we're not going to be shutfin, and I want to stay in the shutfis. But when Reuben tying these both together, it's not a building one on top of the other. When Reuben tying these both together, then each one provides what the other one is lacking. He says both fears at the same time. He's tevea chaluka. He's tevea chaluka. And he's tevea hezekriya. Normally you can't be tevea hezekriya. You always could be tevea hezekriya. But normally Shimon's response would be, you want me to build a wall, but then we won't be shutfin anymore. I want to be shutfin. But here, since it's a chotzer, sheish b'kvei chaluka, so Reuben can say, no, I don't want to be a shutfis anymore. I want out of the shutfis, and it's a big chotzer. So I'm tevei that I want to leave the shutfis. I'm tevei that I want to kaisel el tzezegriya. So the two tefiyas together, there's a synergy, the two tefiyas together are able to force, it should be a wall, and should be able to leave the shutfis. And that's what the Rif means. What the Rif says, that it can be tevei chaluka because tzezegriya shmei hezek. Anyway, I think that's a much better way to say the word from last week. Okay, the other ones are already not holding. We've already moved on, so let's move on. Okay, we're holding by the two dots. Welcome, Shnogel. Live nice to tell something. Lord, Vil Abdi Dele Mishafia. Vil Gosses Abdi Dele Mishafia. Yaksil Kalei Lavonim Mikoris Kenidis Gosses. Kisim Achi Leveinim Livni. Omli Rab Bred Rub. Bred Rub Lere Vashi Maite Gvil Abdi Dele Mishafia. You know. Vait Efer Kisei Le Mushu De Kaina. So Gilma Palka De Gossesu. Vait Efer Kisei Leveini Urbiu. Kira Aminim Kvisna Achi Leveinim Livni. Let's see about it. Omer Abai, Shema Mino Kol Beni Urbi Tefach, Hani Mili Betina, Vav Rikhsa Boi Tvei, Ikadami Hani Mili Berikhsa, Vav Betina, Vav Leboi Kuliai. Zog to Gemara, the Memer to be Gozis, the Chol Dalar Amas Goiva, you have a Pusya Chamisha Koi, Vloi Lekoi, the Amat Raks in the Havi Gavoya Tlasin Amosu, Vloi Havi Pusya Ela Shiz Pushchi, the Kom. Gemara says, that Gvil, Nidor Reichov, the wall is where I'm installed. That's Hezekiah. The next mishnah is Menachol. That Dalad Amos is the height of the kaisel. The width of the kaisel, if it's gvil, is 5 tvachim. So you see that you need a width of 5 tvachim to support a height of 4 amos. So apparently that's the ratio. That for every 4 amos of height, you need 5 tvachim of width. So that's the ratio. Then for a kaisel that's 30 amos tall, you should need 30 is how many times 4? What? How much?
4.5.
4.5. So you should need 5 times 4.5 tochim. So you should need a very wide wall. The Meisen Beis Hamikdash, it was only 6 tochim wide. So how does that work? It's how did a wall that was only, if you need a wall of 5 tochim to support 4 amos of height, so how could a wall of 6 tochim support 30 amos of height? Totally not. So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's kasha. Sidish, so we talked about that base. I don't want to go into it again. Passes mash from the Gemara that the reason why I need five Tochum B'Fayit is if it's less than five Tochum B'Fayit, it'll fall over. That's what the Gemara seems to be assuming. That's why I need the five Tochum B'Fayit. Because with less than five Tochum, it'll fall over. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? Levanim don't have five Tochum of Levanim don't have five Tochum of width, and they don't fall over. And it's good enough. If that's the minigam of Yivir, Levanim is good enough for three Tochum. So if the minigam, so what's trying the Mishnah? The Mishnah requires. So you see that it's not true. You can have something that's it doesn't fall over if it's not five Tochum. Why? Even Levanim don't fall over. Thanks, people saying even Levanim don't fall over if there's three Tochum. Why? Why would Gozes, which is stronger than Levanim, fall over if it doesn't have five Tochum? Why? Stamus, we saw in the Ram, but we saw. Well, anyway, so Tosfos answers that in the Chinami, it's not going to fall over, but it's not going to but it's not going to last as long as a wall of Gozes is supposed to last. But if you're already building a wall of Gozes, that means you have a certain expectation of how long it's. You have a certain expectation of durability. Otherwise, why are you building with Gozes? You could have built with Levanim. Levanim is cheaper. Why are you building Gozes? Apparently, you have a certain expectation. That Minigam Adina of building with Gozes has a certain expectation that it's going to last. You know, like I told you with the watches. You know, you build the wall of Gozes, you will build the wall of Levanim. You expect it to last for 20 years. You build the wall of Gozes, obviously you're expecting it till that Minigam Adina must be that they're building for longer. They're building it to last 100 years. Well, for 100 years, you need five Tochum. That's what Tosfos says. That's what Tosfos says over here. And who says in the base of Mikdash they built it to last 100 years? Maybe they only built it to last 50 years. Some of that's another push. That they built the base of Mikdash to last for 400 years, to last forever. So that's they certainly built it to last Kemidas Gozes. So Kemidas Gozes to last Kemidas Gozes, you need five Tochum. So you need five Tochum for 4 Amos. So for 30 Amos, you should need much more. They built the base of Mikdash to last. If you can only build it 5 Tochum wide, 6 Tochum wide, 30 Tochum tall, 30 Amos tall, it's not going to last very long. It's not even going to last Kemidas Gozes. That's how you go. That's how you build the base of Mikdash. That's the Gemara's kash. This is Tosfos Shitasa in that base. The Tosfos holds taka that a wall of Gozes less than 5 Tochum really will last. It's just not going to last so long. So Tosfos in that base holds that it's a good minhag. I mean, if that's the minhag medina to build Gozes less than. Tosfos says that the shiurim of the Mishnah, Tosfos in that base, are only maximums. That if the minhag medina was to build Gozes 15 Tochum wide, you don't have to follow that minhag because that minhag is a waste. But if the minhag medina was to build Gozes less than 5 Tochum, that's a fine minhag. That's an acceptable minhag. It's not worse than Levanim. So that's Tosfos Shitasa. And it's not unstable, just because Gozes less than 5 Tochum is not unstable. It's not going to fall over. It's at least as stable as Levanim. It might be not match the normal expectation for Gozes, but in this Medina, maybe they don't have the normal expectation for Gozes. So it's a good Medina. We saw the Rishayim HaChaylik, the Rosh HaChaylik, and at the time, again, I don't want to get bogged down on this, but the Rosh HaChaylik was Shitasa, because the Rosh learns the Shiurim of the Mishnah because of any way to last Malisa and Paras. The whole Shiurim of the Mishnah based on the idea not to waste money. So if it doesn't last Kemidas Gozes, then it's not going to waste the money. So therefore, the Rosh says if the minig there was to build Levain, to build Gozes, to build Gozes less than 5 Tvachim, so it's not going to waste the money, because the Midas Gozes, to last as long as Gozes is supposed to last, you need 5 Tvachim. And to build Gozes that's not going to last as much as Gozes is supposed to last is a waste of money. And the Rosh learns that's Pshat in the Shiurim Mishnah, it's any way to last in the Shiurim Paras. The Ramban also learns the Mishnah is a minimum, that less than this is not a good minimum, even though the Ramban doesn't have the idea of Amparas. So the Ramban, with Machriach, is not getting to Pshat in the Gemara, that the Ramban apparently holds that Gozes less than 5 Tvachim really is unstable and it falls over. I, Levanim, won't fall over. So, said at the time, some of the Ramban holds the Levanim, that Gozes, which is heavier, needs more width and it shouldn't fall over. Levanim are light, so they don't need as much width. It's a little bit of pillow. Why? Tosfos didn't have that swar. Anyway, that's the Gemara's kash. Let's go back to Gemara's kash. Gemara says, how did they get away in the base of Mikdash with only 6 Tvachim wide? So Gemara says, 2 tables. So the first heresy of the Gemara is, Kevin de Ika Tefach Yisera Koi. I mean, the Gemara says one teretz. We'll see, Tosfos says there's another possibility. But the Gemara says a teretz. The 6 tefach makes all the difference. For five tefachim will only go, it will only support 5 amas of height. But 6 tefachim will support 30 amas of height. So, the Gemara, the Mikdash Sheni, my time will be Ovid, Amat Traxin. So how come the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't build a wall? The second Beis HaMikdash, they just had two curtains. Why not build a wall? So after Gemara, Koi, Betlosin Koi, Feilo Koi, six Chacham will support 30 Amos, but it's not going to support more than 30 Amos. Mikdashenu was 40 Amos. It says in Mishnah, it's in Mitzvah. For after Gemara, we know that Havi Gavoya Tfei, and how did Hakanot in the second Beis HaMikdash was taller? For Shlomo, Moshe Kasha is very sure. What do you mean? How do we know? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Midrash that that it was 40 Amos tall. And how did the Mishnah know? Because there were eyewitnesses that it was 40 Amos. Like, what's the Moshe Kasha? We know them. Shlomo, the Pshat is not how do we know. It means how did they know that that's what they should do? The Rambam writes in Beis HaBchira that Mikdash Sheni was built on the model of Mikdash Rishon, with certain adaptations modeled on Nebuah of Yecheskel for Mikdash Shlishi. They didn't build a mamish going to Yecheskel's chapter for Mikdash Shlishi. The Rambam writes, so altogether Yecheskel's plans are very obscure. It's not so clear what he means. So they follow the model of Mikdash Rishon, but they incorporated certain elements of Mikdash Shlishi. So basically, though, they follow the model of Mikdash Rishon, which is 30 Amos tall. So how come over here they built it 40 Amos? How did they know to build it 40 Amos tall? So after Gemara, it lasted 10 years longer, and in addition, it was taller. This is 30 amos tall. This is 40 amos tall. Fine. So at least build 30 amos of binyan, like the base of Mikdash, like Mikdash Rishon, and then you have extra that's not going to be supported. So for the extra 10 amos, build the pareches. So the Gemara says, that even the 30 amos tall needed the roof to stabilize it. So they couldn't build 30 amos and then build the rest, the top 10 with the pareches. Then they're not going to have the roof to stabilize the 30 amos. So Taisa points out, once you introduce that idea that the roof stabilized it, so then that's a terrace for the Gemara's original question. How could it be 30 amos tall? It only has 6 tochum of width. What happened to the proportion? So we could say, maybe you can go 30 amos tall if you have a roof. In our Mishnah, we're talking without a roof. So I said, Nechrami, the Gemara, once we have this notion, then we don't need the teretz before about the extra tefach giving me 26 extra amos of height. But then there was another teretz. Then the Gemara goes on, it says, okay, so you need the stabilizing of the roof. So you couldn't go 30 amos tall and the rest of the pareches. But there's certain amount of height they could have built a wall. I mean, 4 amos for sure. It's at least in the our Mishnah and more, because he had 6 tefachim width. They could have built a certain amount of wall. So why didn't they build as much as they could wall, and then the rest do pareches? After Gemara, they can't mix and match. Either it's a wall or it's a pareches. So now I don't need the teretz of the. But the Gemara, now I don't need the Gemara's parents about the roof stabilizing, because there was never an option of doing 30 and 10. So maybe that's not true. Maybe the roof doesn't make a difference. And then we go back to needing the Gemara's parents before about the 6 tefachim. In other words, it's take your pick. Now that we've said that akulu b'binyan, akulu b'pareches, so it's not muchuch that the roof makes a difference in how much height can be supported. So now going back to the Gemara's original question, how in the Mikdash Rishon did they have only 6 tefachim of width and 30 tefachim of height? So you could say, because they had the roof that held it in place, but that teretz is not muchach. We don't know that that's true for sure. And we could say the other teretz of the Gemara, that the tefach yisera, maybe that's why earlier on the Gemara just said the teretz of tefach yisera, didn't say another teretz, because the maskana, that's the teretz we're going to maybe going with, that the tefach yisera is what allowed them to go up to 30 amos. So I had a hurry in the Rambam. Finally, it says in this Gemara, going back to the beginning of the Gemara. So the Gemara initially assumed that it's a fixed proportion. Whatever the height is, you need its proportionate amount of width. That was the Gemara's kasha. If for 4 amos of height, you need 5 tefachim of width. And for 30 amos of height, you should need a lot more than 6 tefachim of width. You should need a commensurate amount of width. The Gemara's gleiche, no, it's not. It's not a fixed proportion. You go a little bit wider, you get a lot of height. But kach, Ben Lahamakshin, Ben Lahatarsin, you see that there's a relationship between the height and the width. The wider it is, the higher it can go. The, the Shaka Vitaya, which changes between the Makshim and the Tachsin. So what's the nature of that relationship? Is it a linear relationship, a fixed proportion, or is it a more like an exponential relationship? For every little bit of width, you get a lot of height. But there's certainly a relationship between the height and the width. The higher the kaisel, the more width you need. The lower the kaisel, the less width you need. So my question is, in the Rama holds it in the Gino, what height do you need? What height wall do you need in the Gino? Anybody remember?
10
tefachim. 10 tefachim. To be nitpasol of Kigano. But how, why does it have to be? I don't know if anyone remembers. What? Regular shiur. Kiminag ha-medina, vil gozis, l'chrisim l'veinim, and with the 5 tefachim, 6 tefachim. The shiurim of the Mishnah are by a gina as well. In other words, if you're building a gino and the minhag ha-medina, if you have a gino, you're dividing a gino, and the minhag ha-medina is the vil, you need a wall of vil, 10 tefachim tall, 5 tefachim wide. I mean, 10 tefachim tall, 10 tefachim, how much did he say in Amos? In Amos, six tefachim. So 10 tefachim is 10 tefachim is 1 4/6, 1 2/3. So we have a wall, it's 1 2/3 Amos. And how wide does it have to be? 5 tefachim. What happened? A wall that's 4 Amos, you need is 5 tefachim. And a wall that's 1.6 tefachim, 1.6 Amos is also 5 tefachim. What happened to the Gemara that the taller the wall, the wider you need, and then presumably the shorter the wall, the narrower the base could be. Like why? What's going on? So I was thinking, but we're working on this. Let's figure this out. Let's make it a graph. So it says like this. We'll mark off. This is width. This is height. We want to graph the relationship between the width of the wall and the height that it supports. Okay, so and this is an amos. This is one amma. This is 2 amos. Over here is going to be 10 tefachim. We'll go over here. What's 1 2/3? 3 amos. 4 amos. 5 amos. 6 amos. Right?
Tefachim.
Well, if that's tefachim. Oh, so this is not, this is a mistake. It's up here that made it to 10 tefachim. So that's the width, tefachim. Okay, now we'll do the height in amos. So we'll do it in fives. This is, we'll do 4. 4 amos.8 amos, am I right? Around here is 30 amos. Okay. So now, we know that for a wall that's 4 amos tall, you need 5 tefachim of width in gazus. That's the mission. For a wall of 30 amos, you need 6 tefachim of width. So that's over here. That's the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara's kasha was, that doesn't make any sense. Because there should be a fixed proportion, the Gemara assumes a fixed proportion between the height and the width. So if for 4 amos, if for 4 amos of height, you need 5 tefachim of width, then for 30 amos of height, you need much more. No, so what would the graph look like in the Gemara's kasha? If it's a fixed ratio.
It's a straight line.
So it'd be a straight line starting at the origin, and it would look like it would go through that first point. And then to get the 30, you know, you get the 30 over here somewhere. That was the Gemara's kasha. So, but that's against the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, no, when you go from 5 tefachim to 6 tefachim, you gain 26 amos of height. So how do we understand that? What does that graph look like? So what would you say it looks like? What?
Parabola.
Parabola curve. It's like some kind of exponential function. It would look like that. It would look like that. That's the Gemara's Teretz. Okay, if that's the Gemara's Teretz, then for a wall of 10 tefachim, a wall of 10 tefachim, this is 4 amos, and here's the wall of 10 tefachim, which is a gino. So how much height would I need? Very, very little. You know? Very little. Less than maybe a tefach. So that's kashan ramen. That's the pelon ramen. So how does the rabbi say that for a wall of 10 tefachim high, you still need 5? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're going to graph that, you're going to get, you know, what's that going to look like? I think the answer is that the Rambam did not think that the Gemara's Teretz is that it's an exponential function. The Gemara's thought it's not a curve. There's another way to graph the relationship between the width and the height, that at 5 tefachim of width, you should have 4 amos of height, and at 6 tefachim of width, you should have 30 amos of height. Even if it's not not a curve, with a straight line, what would that look like?
Continuous.
Like this. In other words, it's a straight line, but the difference is, but it doesn't start at the origin. It means that even for a very, very short wall, you still need more. You still need like 4.5 tefachim of width. Yeah.
What's the implication then if I put down one brick?
Right. So that would be strange. But it's strange. But it's worth noting the exponential function is also strange, because that's. I mean, I looked it up in stone walls. I looked up online on stone walls. So it's a fixed ratio. It's a fixed ratio. It's not an exponential ratio. So either way, it's funny. Either way, it's funny. But, all right, you have the other comparison, but the Rambam seems to hold it. So, but I want to suggest that there's two possible ways to understand what the Gemara's answer is. That for the extra 6 tefachim gives me a lot of height. That the Gemara now is saying it's not a straight line, it's a curve. But the alternative is to say, no, the Gemara is still going that it's a straight line. It's still a linear function. The relationship between width and height is still linear. But the only thing is that it doesn't start at the origin, which means that for a very short wall, if it would start at the origin, where the Gemara originally thought, it means for a very short wall, you need to support a little bit of height. You know, for very short walls, I need very little width. And then it goes more and more and more. The Gemara's Teretz says, no, it doesn't work that way. Even for very short walls, I don't know what, but even for very short walls, I still need a certain amount of width. So I start over here, and then I go up very, very steeply, and at 5 tefachim I get 4 amos, and at 6 tefachim I get 30 amos. If that's what it looks like, so then we could solve for how much height would I need if I need 5 tefachim for 4 amos and 6 tefachim for 30 amos. How much height would I need for 10 tefachim? That's not so hard to solve for. I sat down with my chavrusa when we went with Nathan and Alex the other day, and I don't know if I'm going to put it up on the board, because I don't know if I'll botch it up, but it came out, well, I'll tell you the procedure, and then you can do it yourself. But it came out like this. What does this function look like, this line over here? So it would mean, it would look something like this, that the height equals some coefficient of the width plus some offset. That's what it would look like. In other words, if it started at the origin, then it would just be the height equals a certain fraction times the width. That would be a fixed ratio. That was the most caution. But now that it's offset, you have to add another element over there. That would be the function. And then we know the values for 2 points. We know that when the height is 4 amos, the width is five tefachim. And we know that when the height is 30 amos, the width is 6 tefachim. So therefore, once we have two equations, we can put A in terms of B. We can solve and say the first one for A, so we have A, we can solve for A in terms of B, then we can plug that into here, so we only have B, and then we can solve for what is B, and then we'll know what A is and B is, and we'll have the function. So, okay, we did it the other day on a napkin, but what we came out with, was 4.91 tefachim of width for a wall that's 10 tefachim wide, 4.91 over here somewhere. So then that's good. Then the Rambam says, so that's the Rambam. The Rambam says that for a yin you need 5 tefachim. Because 4.91, the Rambam's not going to say. The Gemara itself says that we don't, later on in the sugya, that we don't do fractions. You know, certainly not more than fractions that are smaller than half, for sure we don't do. So it's almost 5. So almost 5 is 5. So now that's the Rambam. Gina needs 5 tefachim. Because the Rambam is passing, like this down to the Gemara, that it's that for, with the extra tefachim, you get 30 amos of height. And the Rambam understood that it doesn't mean that it's a curve. It means that it's a straight line, but it doesn't start at the arm. Okay, that was a Torah Mader portion of the semester, I think. Okay, let's see right there. Yeah, let's see right there. Zot Gemara. When the Gemara gives these widths, it has to be Sid also. The Gemara is assuming we're building these walls with Sid. The Achi, the ones that we're doing with half bricks, for sure we're doing with Sid. It's two half bricks and a Sid in the middle. But I think Gemara is assuming that besides that you have Sid on the outside of the wall, the walls are plastered on the outside. So these measurements, do they include the Sid or they don't include the Sid? Let it say the shear of the Sid. And last moment of Henry Sidon. That's a negligible amount, so it doesn't say. So you see that it says fractions. It's 2.5 and 2.5, but it's for a total of 5. So that those kind of fractions it says. But there is no Sid. It's the norm in a hypothetical area that you're using to measure the width of a curve. And it says that it's Gimel Tvachim. So that's a larger Levena. Levena Shell Gimel Tvachim. They come in different sizes. They can the Tony Shell Slash Tvachim. So the Gazutrish Mamino. Okay, let's start the next thing. Zok the Gemara. Omer Rav Chisdo. Shouldn't be Saiser a shul. How does Kesugi come in over here? It's talking because we get into the Beis HaMikdash. And we get into the Beis HaMikdash, I guess, because we just talked about the height of the Beis HaMikdash. I suppose that's the Kishir and Yonah. Anyway, the list is Beknishta Debani Beknishta Chayusi. Shouldn't, if you have to rebuild the shul, shouldn't knock down the old shul, then rebuild the new shul. Should rebuild the old shul first and then knock down the old shul. Why? Two reasons. Ikadami Mishum Shiusa. That we're afraid that if you knock down the old shul first, there'll be a pshia, something will happen, and they'll never get around to building the new shul, and then they'll be without a shul. And the city has to have a shul. Rama writes in Perek Yudalef of Tefillah that there's a chiyuv in every town to have a shul. So therefore, better to build a new shul first, and only then, when you're guaranteed that there's a shul, then you can knock down the old shul. That's the first reason. V'yikadami mishum tzluya. That's a shavu to daven. If they're going to knock down the old shul and then build the shul, the new shul, then where are they going to daven in the interim? My binayu. What's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Ike binayu, the ike be knishta acharisi. That's our gears in the Gemara. That there's another shul in town. So then, duchtu l'tzluya they have. They could daven in the other shul. But pshiusa is still a consideration. That's the gears that we have. Lefi that gears, the Chavit says two chidushim. First of all, it's mashma that if there's not another shul in town, then it's not called to have a duchta l'tzluya, even though maybe they could find a classroom somewhere. You know, maybe they could rent a basement. Why is that called another? Why do you have to have another shul in order to be a duchta l'tzluya? That's not called a duchta l'tzluya. Maybe because there's an inyan that you're supposed to daven in a shul. The chaykes ram in the Torah, if the din you're supposed to daven in a shul, is even if you're davening b'chidus or only with a minion. The Torah holds that the din, that if you're davening with a minion, it's better to daven in a minion and shul than to daven with a minion and not in shul. And the Ram is mashman, even if you're davening b'chidus, there's an inyan to daven in a shul. So maybe that's the pshat of it. That's not called a duchta l'tzluya. Shul is not called a duchta l'tzluya. Maybe it's a very big chiddush. But then it's also mashman, another chiddush. This girsa also has an implication that even if there's another shul in town, we're still worried about Pshia. That maybe they're going to knock down the shul and they're not going to build a new shul. I would have thought, if there's another shul in town, who cares? But isn't that... So they'll have them in the other shul. Why is that an issue? Like, the shul has two... The town has two shuls. So why do I care if they knock down the shul? And let's say... What's the Pshia? Well, what are we worried about if Pshia? They'll never get around to rebuilding the shul. No, so they'll have them in the other shul. I would think, noch besser. It's even better. Then all daven will be one community, be more achdus. Right? The rabbi will be out of a job, one of the rabbis. But Muslim, that's not the issue here. So why is this called the Pshia B'cha? Not so clear to me why that's called the Pshia. Taisa is a different girsa. Taisa is gairis. Taisa doesn't say the fairish, but it's muchach and taisa. Their girsa was the ikad duchta l'tzluya. Not that there's another shul in town. There's not another shul in town. The town has one shul. There's a basement where they could daven. So according to the second lashon, that the issue is where they're going to daven. In the meanwhile, it's not a problem. They'll daven in the gymnasium. That's not an issue. The issue is, but there's a pshia. The town has to have a shul. It's not enough. You're not supposed to daven in the basement forever. The town has to have a shul. But in a chanami, if the town has another shul, then maybe there's no problem of pshia either. And we'll see in Tosfos Beferish, it's as far that in a chanami, if the town has another shul, then we're not worried about pshia. Normally, a town has one shul. Let's see Rashi. Pshiyusa. Dilma misrami einis uposha v'leibonu achisi. Maybe there'll be some einis that'll halt the construction. And they won't, and then there'll be peshe and they won't build another. I guess Rashi didn't want to say mishum shiyusa. Maybe there'll be peshe and they won't build the shul. Like, what does he have to bring in the einis? It says pshiyusa. What did Rashi bring in einis? Einis is the opposite of pshiyusa. Rashi said, Dilma Poshi, maybe it'll be Pesher, and they'll knock down the shul, and they'll leave it knocked down. So I guess, Ad Kedekach, when Ad Chayish is time, they're going to knock down the shul, and then they're going to be Pesher, and not build another shul. But it means something will go wrong. In construction, always something goes wrong. That's Tamar rule. So, and then, they won't have they'll be Pesher, and they won't push it through. Mishum Tzluya, close the man have been here. Where are they going to die? While they're building? Yeah. In the Ikebinai, Rashi doesn't say anything. how he was geirus. Zoknumar, Maremer Mazutri, Maremer Mazutra, Sosri Ubonu, Bekaita Bisiswa, Ube Ubonu. What is the guess here? Vesasri Ubonu, Besiswa Bekaita. So they knocked down the winter shul in the summer and the summer shul in the winter. So what's the story over here? So there's two ways to learn. We'll see. The simpler shot, the way Rashi learns, is that this town had two shuls. They had a winter shul and a summer shul. There was no air conditioning. So in the summer, it was very hot. So they had a summer shul that was built to be airy and like, you know, the Spanish architecture, which is going to these old Spanish buildings. And even if it's a very hot day, inside it's cool because the architecture is it's built in such a way that it's cool. But in the winter, on the contrary, you want a very small, you want a low roof, you want it should be dense, it should hold the heat in. So this town had two shuls. The one shul was very hot and bubble. The rack's very, very hot. So in the summer, they would be stifling in a small, crampy shul. They needed a shul that was very, very airy. But in the winter, when it got cold, they wanted a small shul. So they had a winter shul and a summer shul. Two different shuls. So then both of them had to be redone. So they knocked down the winter shul during the summer, and they knocked down the summer shul during the winter. That's how Rashi went. This is Rashi. The kaita b'sisva, based on Knesset Yolam l'meisach chayev, nomuch v'ksolim rechavim, with thick walls, the chalonis muotim, and not a lot of windows. M'nayatzino, v'meisach chama, based on Knesset Achesh, Avi Shalit, but that was very, had a lot of air. That's it. Rashi doesn't explain anything more. So what was the cheshmen over here? Hoshib Shah, what's the cheshmen? The kaita b'sisva, they knocked down the winter shul in the summer, and the summer shul in the winter. So what did they gain? What they gained was they didn't have to worry about a tuchta litzliyah, because when they were knocking down the summer shul, they dafened in the winter. They knocked down the summer shul and they dafened in the winter shul. And in the winter, they knocked down the summer shul and they dafened in the winter shul. So they always had a tuchta litzliyah. But the chayra, it doesn't solve the problem of pshiusa. The town needs a summer shul and a winter shul. Then they knocked down the summer shul without building another summer shul first. So, fine, during the winter, they're comfortable, they'll daven in the winter shul, they have a duchtu l'tzliya, but it's going to come the summer, maybe there'll be pesheya, maybe, you know, there'll still be pesheya, and they're not going to have a summer shul. But where did that go? Where did the issue of pshiusa disappear to? Rishonim asked this question. Chayra Maremer of Asher, they only solved the problem of, it solves the problem of duchtu l'tzliya. But how does it solve the problem? And maybe it's even a chiddush that's called duchta l'tzluya. We're not worried the construction will last more than 6 months. So you have a duchta l'tzluya. So it's enough that for the winter, you're doing the construction in the winter, you have a duchta l'tzluya for the winter. By next summer, you're not going to have a duchta l'tzluya. That far, we're not worried. How long does it take already to do? If all things go well, you'll be done. So duchta l'tzluya is okay. But what about shusa? Shusa means we're afraid when you knock down the shul, maybe you'll never rebuild it. So that's why you have to build a new one first. So before you knock down the summer shul, you need a summer shul. You can't daven in the winter in the winter shul. It'll be stifling. So you need to have a summer shul. And why isn't there a problem with pshiusa? Why isn't the Gemara? Why are Maremer and Mazutra not worried about that? So the Rosh asked the Kasha. Rishonim also asked the Kasha. The Rosh says that in the Chanami, Maremer and Mazutra held like the lashon of Mishum. Mishum Sluyeh. They didn't hold from the concern of Mishum Shiusa. Yeah, the Rosh says, Inu Sari Mishum Sluyeh. The Havala Duchtu Sluyeh. It's a little bit of a doichuk because the next Gemara is Amalei Ravino Rashi Gobu Zuzmi Machsi Mai. What if they already have the money? So is that does that take off the chashash of pshiusa? even if it does, what's the Gemara's buy? What's the buy? If they have the money in hand, maybe there's no problem of Shiusa. Okay, there's no problem of Shiusa maybe, but you still have a problem with Sluyag. Where'd that go? So the Rosh says that buy of the Gemara is assuming that the only concern is Shiusa. We're not worried about Duchtul Sluyag. It comes out, it's a funny thing. The two Gemaras, Maremer Mazutra, were only worried about Duchtul Sluyag, and they weren't worried about Shiusa. And then Ravina and Ravashi, they were only worried about Shiusa, and they weren't worried about Duchtul Sluyag. That's the Rosh, according to Rosh, that's how it comes out. Tosis is going to grapple with this. That's, I think, what's driving with Tosis. There's a little Tosis here. I go, that's what's driving with Tosis. This problem. How does this, I understand that it takes care of the problem of Dukta Lusliya, but how does it take care of the problem of Pshius? That's the whole need, and even though Tosis doesn't make it explicit, that's going to be the need in Tosis. To work through a Pshat and Marei Merim HaSutra, he doesn't want to be Seibel. Tosis doesn't want to be Seibel the Rosh. That Marei Merim HaSutra just didn't hold from Pshius, they only held from Dukta Lusliya. So Tosis gives a whole bunch of possibilities. It sounds like five possibilities. At least it looks like five possibilities. What happened to the problem of what happened to the issue of Shius? Let's finish. Let's go back to the Gemara first. So the next Gemara. Meanwhile, go like the Rosh. They're only worried about Duchtel Litzliya. So that's the Esef of Duchtel Litzliya. In the winter, when they had the winter shul available, they knocked down the summer shul. And in the summer, when they had the winter shul available, they knocked down the summer shul. Or the other round, whatever. Again, Omalei Ravina Levashi, Govu Zuzi Machsi Mai. What if they have the money in hand? So Krashi, Govu Zuzi Machsi, Litzorech Beis Akneses HaChodosh, Umunochem Yad Agabai, Mikol Mechosh De Pshio Ile. Maybe now there's no problem of Pshio. The money's in the bank. Maybe there's no problem of Pshio. Yeah, again, what happened to Duchtel Litzliya? So the Rosh says they didn't hold from Duchtel Litzliya. Other Rishonim say that maybe they did hold from Duchtel Litzliya, but Duchtel Litzliya they had. There was a Shinesim where they could daven, or there was another Shul where they could daven. So that's the case was where you're not worried about Duchtel Litzliya, but you still have to worry about Mishum Shiusa. Does having the money in hand take care of the problem of Shiusa? Omalei Dilma Misramilu Pidyon Shvuyim V'yavilu. Maybe a Pidyon Shvuyim will come up, and they'll take the money, the community will take the money that they've collected for the Shul, and they're going to use it to ransom some Shvuyim. Sman Chazal Pidyon Shvuyim was a constant issue. People constantly being kidnapped by pirates on the high seas. And can you do it? So opinion shooting was that's a real concern. So even though the community has money, you never know what they're going to have to do with the money. They're going to have to use the money for a ransom. We have to guess the opinion shulim. It's mashma that only opinion shulim would require in taking the money that was earmarked for a shul. The Rambam's gear says a mitzvah, any mitzvah. That the community apparently they're allowed to take money that was earmarked for a shul, and they're allowed to use it for any mitzvah that they want. And this is a problem. Mishnah tomorrow, we'll talk about it more. But that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim says if you have money that's collected for a shul and a mitzvah need arises, you can take the money that they collected from the shul, that the Gabbayim collected for a shul, and they could use it for Sayyarech Mitzvah. The problem is that that's the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. Chess, I think. We talked about Hilchos Stok. On the other hand, the Rambam in Perek Yud-Alef Tefillah. You should look through the Rambam Perek Yud Aleph Tefillah. Really, the whole Perek is good to see, but in particular from Halacha Yud Beis and on. Halacha Yud Beis to Yud Ches. The Rambam Hilchos Tefillah says that if they collected money for a shul, they're only allowed to use it for a mitzvah that's more kaddish than a shul. A shul or a mitzvah that's more kaddish than a shul. A Beis Medrash is more kaddish than a shul. A teva, a sefer Torah. There's a hierarchy of Ma'alim B'Kaddish Ve'Meridim. It's right after the Rambam brings halacha that if you sell a shul, you could use the money to buy another shul, or to buy a Beis Medrash, or to buy a paper, or to buy a Sefer Torah. But not the other way around. If you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't use the money to buy a shul. There's a Ma'alim B'Kaddish Shein Merid. Then the Rambam says, V'chein, if you collect money for a shul, you can use that money for a shul, or for a Beis Medrash, or for a Sefer Torah, for and so on and so forth, but only going up. But apparently that's also kind of Ma'alim B'Kaddish Shein Merid. So Chavetz Estira, if you collect money from a shul, the Rambam says, Ma'alim B'Kaddish Shein Merid. You can only use it for a higher level kedushas, not for lower level kedushas. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. But what happened to Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim? That if you collected money for a shul, you could use it for any mitzvah. If the Rambam would have said pidyon shvuyim, maybe I got here. Maybe pidyon shvuyim is pikuach nefesh, overrides everything. The Rambam says any tzarech mitzvah. How can you use money that you collected for shul, but for any tzarech mitzvah, And the Rambam himself says that this is in a mile of the money that you collected for shul can only be used for a shul or for some heft to shul kedusha. That's at least as kaddish as a shul. So, okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll talk tomorrow. It's a very big problem. Then this is another problem. I already tell you. There's another problem which the Meisekelim would grapple with a lot. And that Rambam in Hilchus, Tefillah, that if you collected money for a shul, you can only use it for a high level tusha, but not a lower level tusha. That's, by the way, that's not a Feresh Gemara. Agamar is a Feresh Gemara. That if you collected money for a shul, you could use it for Pinyin Shvuyim. Or in the Rambam's Gersa, you could use it for a mitzvah. The Rambam in Hilchus Tefillah, you collected money for a shul, it's Milan Bokadish and Meridim, you can only use it for high level tusha, not low level tusha. That's not a Feresh, that's not a Gemara anywhere. But the Rambam, I don't know, it's not a Gemara. And then Mr. Kesem Mishnah asks, why is that even true? Normally the halacha is, the halacha normally is hazman alav milsa. Hazman alav milsa means that, let's say I have a cloth, and I earmarked it for a sefer Torah, but I didn't write in it yet, I didn't do anything yet, I was masmid, I earmarked it for a sefer Torah, so hazman alav milsa, you could use it for wherever you want. But we pass on hazman alav milsa. Or I have a bag, I made a bag, and I embroidered it and everything, and I want it for a tefillin bag. So the halacha is, I can change my mind. I could use it for anything else until I put tefillin in. Then once I put tefillin in, then it's already, it becomes kaddish. You can't use it for you know, can't use it for anything else. But the hazman alone, a bais is hazman milsa. We pass like, hazman alav milsa. And the same thing, the Torah writes that if you built, you took a house and you designated it to be a shul. Or even more, you built a shul. You built a shul. But nobody davened in it yet. So the halacha is, that it has no kedusha. Hazman alav milsa. You can go into that house, you can go into that building, that you built it to be a shul. It says in the front, this is the, you know, the unusual of Hatzenplatz, it's going to be built over here, and you built the shul and everything is ready to go. You can go inside, you can play bingo, you can eat, you could drink, you could carouse. It doesn't have any kedusha. The minute somebody starts to daven in there, now it has kedusha v'sekneses. So the Beis Yosef asks, how could it be that if you built the house to be a shul, you could still change the house and use it for something else? But if you collect money for a shul, then you can only use it for a milah mekadesh v'meridim. All of a sudden, the money has kedusha. How can the money that you collected for a shul be more kedusha than if you built a shul? It doesn't have any kedusha because it's a milah milsa. That's also a problem. There's a lot of problems in the Rambam, which is shown tomorrow. We'll talk about it. Anyway, let's continue the Gemara. What if they didn't collect money? Okay, the money might get, we might have to co-opt it for Pinyin Shvuyim. What if we manage to have the building material? We have the bricks and the beams and everything is in place on the building site. So what's the din then? Maybe there'll be a Pinyin Shvuyim and they'll sell it and they'll use the money for Pinyin Shvuyim. Interesting is, the Rambam, here the Rambam says only Pidyon Shvuyim. In that Rambam, Machnasaniyim, the Rambam says if they collected money for a shul, and any mitzvah comes along, they could take the money and use it for a mitzvah. And if they already have the bricks and the beams and so on, then for Pidyon Shvuyim they can sell it and do it for use it for Pidyon Shvuyim. But there it is, Mashin the Rambam, that only for Pidyon Shvuyim, not for a lesser mitzvah. Not so clear. What's the difference? Manashach. If you can take the money for a shul and use it for any mitzvah, then why can't you take the bricks that you earmarked for shul? What's the difference? It's the same as money. Like, what's the difference? I don't, maybe that's the difference in the Das HaKol, how much stomach has to do with the Das HaKol, how much flexibility did the tzibur give the gabbai? It's only money, they authorize them to use it for any mitzvah. Once it's already been put into bricks and so on, or people gave bricks, maybe that already is only been in shvuyim, did they give them the flexibility? Not so clear. Rashi says it means even if they built even bonunami beknishta charata loylins through latik, maybe we should never knock down the old shul. Even if we built a new shul, maybe we should never knock down the old shul because dumim mishrabe pinyin shulim is happening. Because maybe pinyin shulim will come and they'll sell the and we'll sell the function that we'll sell the new shul. So maybe we should always leave the old shul up in reserve in case we ever have to sell the new shul for a pinyin shulim. So Tais says it doesn't mean once the shul is being davened in. Because once the davening the new shul has k'tusha, how could you sell it? It's right? You can't sell, even if Benishuim, you can't sell a dovish of k'tusha. So it means, even if they built a new shul and they haven't used it yet, so that's not yet kodesh. They've said before, hazman olam milsa, so maybe you shouldn't knock down the old shul until we start davening in the new shul. So the Gemara says, no. Amalei, dear say the inshi leim is avni. People don't sell their house. Even if Benishuim, they'll find the money somewhere else. People are not going to sell their houses. They're not going to sell a shul that's already built. Pashup Shara means that we're not afraid that they're going to do it. It doesn't mean they're not allowed to do it. Why wouldn't they be allowed to do it? It doesn't have any k'tusha yet. It's dumb if they're allowed to sell the bricks, they're allowed to sell the shul if that's more allowed mil. So it means it's not a contingency that we have to worry about. The Rama says that it's an issue. Once they built the shul, they're not allowed to sell it for Pidin Shul. That's where did Rama get that from? I mean, he got it from the Gemara, but why should that be true? What's the difference? He also needs a beer. Then they were finally. This halacha, you're not allowed to knock down the shul. It's only if you're not allowed to knock down the old shul until you've built the new shul. That's only if the old shul you don't see cracks in the old shul. Rashi bikur shul mezuman lipoil. But if it's mezuman lipoil, then you can knock it down before you can knock it down right away. So that's simply what's the pshat. Does it mean because it's sakonas nefoshes? A little bit strange. So what's the chiddush? I mean, obviously, if you can't, what are they? They're not using it anyway. I mean, if the police came and they put the yellow tape around, and then so they're not using the shul anyway. So what? So there's no duchdulusli issue. There's no pshus issue. This shul is not usable. So why, obviously, you could knock it down. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means not that it's going to fall down on their heads. They can still use it. But they see that the shul is on its last legs, and there's a big pressure. They should build a new shul quickly. This shul is not going to last that much longer. So they should hurry up and build a new shul. So since they're in a hurry, they have this imperative. They have to quickly build a new shul. This old shul is not going to last too long. So then they're allowed to knock down the old shul and build before they build the new shul, because then it'll go, I think the pshat is because then it'll go faster. Because if they knock down the old shul first, they can use all the bricks and the windows, and they can take the building material from the old shul, or they can sell it and the material, and they can use the money, and they'll be able to build a new shul faster. So here, since they need to do it as expeditiously as possible, so they're allowed to do it. We'll see when we get to Tosfos. Maybe some gila over here. Does chazu b'tuah mean that it's mamish going to fall on their heads? It's not usable right now. Chazu b'tuah means no, it's usable right now, but there's just a big imperative. There's a big time factor over here, a reason that we want to do it as quickly as possible. And then where we story? Kiha, the Rav Ashi chazu b'tuah b'knishta demosam achsayim sasri v'ayel po yilhosam le'afka ademas malei shvichi. That's the end of the sugya. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Okay, so tomorrow I want to do the Tosfos Haggadah, that little Tosfos, but there's a lot going on. Five different shulchan will be tomorrow, and the Rambam. We'll get him, but he's on the Rambam.
So what we're saying is that knock it down.